When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Feels like a yearly tradition now. Scathing report about the New York Jets detailing just how embarrassing parts of this franchise are. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We get back to college football in just a moment. But Perloff, this was another amazing piece by our friend Diana Russini, Mike Silver, Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic, all combining to just illustrate and illuminate even more how dysfunctional the Jets are.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There have been other scathing pieces, but the details, like, you couldn't invent some of these.
You can't. So let's get straight to one of the reporters who is doing great work on this story, and that's our pal Diana Russini from The Athletic. Diana, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I know this certainly feels like an annual thing that we're doing here, and not intentional, by the way. I actually had somebody in the league text me yesterday, was like, a lot of Jets stuff. I said, yeah, that's what happens, unfortunately, when teams are losing, because you guys know, when teams win, this stuff doesn't usually get out. About 6 months ago, Zach Rosenblatt, the Athletic's Jets beat reporter who's on the ground all the time and around everyone, he and I just started to share some notes about things that we had heard. We obviously had no idea what was about to happen this season. And as the season went, we just kept collecting notes. And most of the stuff that we were collecting had to do with Woody. And you guys know, and I think a lot of fans know, that there's always been rumors about him, and there's been gossip and chatter. So we thought, why don't we team up with Mike Silver, who's new to The Athletic. He's a senior writer with three decades of experience. He's worked for Sports Illustrated. He's done like 70 cover stories. Why don't the three of us lock in here and nail this thing down and get as much information as we can, and also give the Jets an opportunity to negate any of this that we're hearing, any of this that we can report. And we were able to get this all together, and we published this yesterday, and you guys saw some of the things that we uncovered.
And let's start with the one that's grabbing the most attention, although there's plenty more in here than just this detail, which is that Woody Johnson, according to your reporting, nixed a trade that the Jets were down the road potentially with the Denver Broncos on trading for wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. But Woody Johnson felt that his Madden NFL video game rating was not high enough, and therefore he kiboshed the deal. I mean, Diana, this obviously screams towards Woody Johnson's teenage sons maybe having a hand in personnel decisions. I mean, how involved are Brick and Jack Johnson in what happens with Jets personnel?
Yeah, they were negotiating with the Denver Broncos, and both sides felt that the deal was close. In fact, Jerry Jeudy's side thought that the deal was pretty much close, and Jerry Jeudy was getting ready to be a New York Jet, and this thing abruptly ended. And at the time, nobody knew why. And we were able to find out that the reason was because while Woody had done some of his research with Joe Douglas at the time on the player, he didn't know that much about him. He didn't. He said, he looks good on film, but who is he? What is he? And he did his own research, and some of that research was finding out his Madden rating. And so when this negotiation sort of fell apart, it then came out that it was Woody that nixed it and told Joe Douglas that, no, I don't want this player. And yes, the Madden rating was the reason why. And he did get that from his teenage sons, because I don't think a 78-year-old man is playing Madden, and look, maybe he is. I don't believe so. that was like the one thing I never asked. I probably should have gone back to the Jets and said, okay, one more question for you guys. Does Woody play Madden? But look, I think there's a lot of confusion about, well, owners all have their kids around. They all have their family around, and they do. I cover every team in this league. I've seen it. I've seen them in their suites. I've seen them on the field. I think the problem with the influence of these teenage boys, it's fine that he's with his dad. They're both with their dad. It's fine that they're in meetings. It's fine that they're in the draft room. If that's what Woody wants to do and have his son be part of it, because at one point these boys are going to be the owners, that's his right. But I think the part of this that goes off the rails is when the people in charge of the football decisions are feeling and believing that the teenage son's thoughts and opinions are influencing Woody's decision-making. So I'm sure you guys saw that quote where Joe Douglas told someone, I answer to teenagers. Because in his mind, while he was trying to run this organization, Joe Douglas, along with, I can tell you, many people in that building, not only just this season, but in seasons past, have always felt that Woody Johnson's sons had more power in the building than a teenage son with no football experience should have.
Wow. It's really interesting to me, some of the reporting on how Johnson is interventionist in ways that are hurting the team. You've covered bad owners. You've covered controversial owners before. I remember you did a lot of reporting on Dan Snyder in Washington. Is there a pattern you notice when all the times you've covered teams? Like, it seems like when an owner intervenes, it usually goes bad. Is that like the most common owner mistake you see out there?
Yeah, usually it's owners getting too involved in football, thinking that they know how to do it. Most people that own teams are outrageously successful business people. Most owners that I've met are also really good people. Just because you're a good person, because you're successful in a different area, doesn't mean that makes you a fantastic football owner. And I think that's where there's a rub. And the best owners that I cover and been around and have had conversations over the years have empowered those people who they believe know what they're doing and delegate and have trust. You can be part of it. I know of owners who are in the buildings every day, but they're not in the building to influence. They're not in the building to make decisions. They're there to just observe and to make sure the trains stay on the track for what they want their team to be. So in this situation, you have an owner who cares a lot. He wants to win. He holds people accountable in the Jets building. Yet there's a side to him where he goes off the rails. We know when Mike White had that run that one season and the Jets had an opportunity to get in the playoffs, Mike White is playing with broken ribs. He goes out there. They lose. They get knocked out. He comes into the locker room, throws his helmet, hits the showers, and Woody yells in the locker room, yeah, you should throw your helmet because you F-word suck. That's not good management. That's really emotional and characteristics that don't fall in line with a successful program. And then when you're doing that in front of your children, then your children think that that's okay to talk to players and people on your staff in that regard. And that is what we discovered was happening as well, that not only Woody was speaking down to players, but the teenage sons are as well. And so this is stuff that we uncovered through talking to players, through agents, people that have worked there, and current Jets employees. I think that's another snag in this that I think a lot of Jets fans are frustrated because the Jets are letting other reporters put out that, well, this is disgruntled employees. Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh refused to talk to us. They absolutely have no comment on any of this. So I'm not really sure where they're coming up with this disgruntled thing. The people that we're talking to have just had this experience with the Jets. You know, one person sharing with us, you never work for the New York Jets and leave and go, I was proud to be a New York Jet.
Wow. I mean, the details, again, not just, you know, nixing a trade because of a Madden rating, because teenage sons of an outside influence, But, you know, disparaging the players in the locker room and then your kids doing it, your wife doing it. I mean, it just, this is not how classy people would act, you know, let alone, you know, the owners of the team are trying to set a culture. Do what you want behind closed doors, but not in front of the players. Diana Rossini is a senior NFL insider for The Athletic. The piece is out now, along with Mike Silver and Zach Rosenblatt, about the latest dysfunction with the Jets and the details. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And Diana, I think everyone listening who's outside of New York would wonder, well, what about the Aaron Rodgers of it all? You know, they might not care so much about, you know, rich guy Woody Johnson, but as far as Rodgers is concerned, I saw the detail you had in the piece about how Woody Johnson didn't appreciate when Aaron Rodgers, I guess, tried to, maybe lobby on behalf of Nathaniel Hackett. But where do you think Rodgers stands right now with the Jets?
Yeah, I think that Woody and Aaron Rodgers' relationship has basically fallen apart for a few months now. I don't necessarily believe it was ever superb. I think it was fine. He's very close to Christopher Johnson, Woody Johnson's brother. It was reported recently that Aaron had gone to dinner. It was actually misreported. I think somebody said that he'd gone to dinner with Woody, and that was not true. He'd gone to dinner with Christopher Johnson. They're fine. It's Woody has been frustrated with the play, with the performance, with the fact that Aaron has really stood strong on defending Nathaniel Hackett when he didn't believe that he was the best offensive coordinator. And Maggie, that's the thing about some of this, and I've had people in this building say to me, you have to understand, Woody's been right on a lot of this stuff. Mm. And that's what makes this difficult, because he wants to allow things to happen, but he doesn't trust that these people are making the best decisions either. And I'm not defending Woody here. I'm not saying that this is okay. But I think the part that makes this difficult to really come down hard is he owns the team. He's got the right to make any decision he wants to make. And in some cases, he's been right, and he's proven it. So people close to him will defend him because of that reason. But in terms of Aaron Rodgers moving forward, look, to be fully transparent, I hear something different every day. Mm. And he does it too, right? Every day is a different door. One day he's retiring. One day I want to be a Jet. The next day I don't know. And that, you know, he's all over the place. So in terms of the Jets, I do think that they are going to probably want a fresh slate here. But for them, just from my conversations over the last few days, obviously I've had to talk to them a lot. I think that's also important to mention here is, you know, when you do a story like this, you don't just report it. Like, you have to have the team part of this. You have to let them know. You have to go through every single thing you uncover, because it's not sound to do it any other way. On top of the fact that it's the respectful thing to do journalistically for the team that you're covering. So the Jets right now know, and they knew everything that was coming out, and had every opportunity to correct what many think are inaccurate, or perhaps that they're leaking out through sources, yet they never wanted to go on the record. They had every chance to go on the record and say the Madden rating is not true, right? Because they don't want people to believe that. Of course not. It makes the organization look bad. And they did not take that opportunity. We also asked for Woody Johnson on the record. He declined our interview.
Wow.
So they obviously have things to hide. They don't want this stuff out. And I do believe that this is just a piece of it. I think there's a lot more. But in terms of them trying to get this right, I can tell you they are trying to nail this GM head coaching search. And obviously you've seen through the news that the search has begun. But now it's going to be about whether or not who wants to be part of this.
Do you think, why not Bill Belichick? Is Woody Johnson just have an issue with him? Because there was a report that Bill Belichick's people reached out to the Jets.
That was Diana's report.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, there was some random report. No. Why? Do you think that's a mistake?
Maggie, credit to you, because that was a circus of stories, and you were probably the only person who picked up on that.
Yeah, it was you, Diana. You
didn't say that. They're like, Belichick wants to go to the Jets. I go, yeah, I know. I wrote that.
This was all
Diana,
you.
I'm sorry.
Diana, I read everything you write. I listen to the pod with you and Chase. No. I'm your biggest fan, and it was that the fact
it's too long to be like, give me the credit. Right, we're all so past that. 10 years ago, I'd be like, Mackie, that was me. Emphasize that. At this point, it's just like everything gets mixed up so quickly, too, right? With the aggregation and But I will say that story, so I published my weekly column on Saturday mornings, and I found that out probably around 11 p.m. Around 11 p.m. on Friday night. It was late when I nailed that down. And I typed it. I'm like, this just feels crazy. But I had so many great people on it. I'm like, well, this is true. And I thought what was so interesting about it was I didn't think it would have the blowback it did in terms of the Jets side to it. I thought people would give Belichick a hard time of, look, here he is crushing this organization for years, doing everything he could to embarrass them, yet he's the one calling them for the job. A lot of people took it on the other side of, like you guys just did, like, well, why wouldn't the Jets consider Bell? So the way it was explained to me, Belichick reached out to Mike Tannenbaum, who's running the search for the head coaching GM positions, and Tannenbaum has a great relationship with Belichick, and which is also very funny, right? With Spygate, like really? Like, it just goes to show you, time heals. So they discussed it, and the Jets and Belichick were trying to, through Tannenbaum, find maybe an opportunity to just have a conversation. It was discussed internally with the Jets, but I know that there was some hesitancy of, like, you are really disrespectful to us. You've crushed our owner. You're going to have to probably explain a lot of this if this were to move to anything on a serious level. And then UNC came rolling through, and then we saw that at that. So it was a brief moment, and you know, maybe perhaps what could have been.
Diana, thank you for the time this morning. We're flat out of time. The reporting's phenomenal on the Jets. I mean, to uncover these details, I mean, a trade getting put kibosh because of a Madden rating, and now we get two new characters in New York sports, Brick and Jack Johnson, who may be shadow running the team to some extent. But again, happy holidays to you and your family, Diana. We'll check in again soon. Thank you.
Guys, love being on, and I appreciate you guys having me on. So thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
You too. So you can read Diana in The Athletic. You can listen to her podcast with Chase Daniel. They're great together, and it's a lot of info all around the league, not just Jet stuff. This is salacious, and obviously we got to give EJ a little bit of crap as our Jets fan here of all the funny details.
Well, some of
she's
them,
got everything.
There's actually, like, it's a very comprehensive piece. Like, she's right. Woody Johnson was like, apparently he killed the Hackenberg pick. So Woody's not a football idiot, too. That's one thing that came through in the story.
Right, but see, here's the thing. So, yeah, Woody was not a fan of the team drafting Christian Hackenberg, but he didn't say anything in the moment in the draft room,
right,
which is probably the right thing to do, but afterwards had, like, snarky comments.
Right, right, just like what he did to Mike White. Like, he is,
right.
So it's such a weird dynamic.
Okay, but here's the thing. But he also made the bed that he's lying in, though, because they hired Nathaniel Hackett with the hopes of getting Aaron Rodgers. So you got Aaron Rodgers, and now you're, like, shocked that Rodgers would be going to bat for his guy?
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's like, come on, dude. Like, I know you didn't build Johnson & Johnson, but you got to be smarter than that. So that's the other thing, too, about some of these owners, and not to paint with too broad of a brush, but Diana's talking about, they're so wildly successful in business, they think they're successful doing anything, right? Woody Johnson, though, what'd you build? That's just my question. Okay, 855-212-4227. It's like great-grandfather built Johnson & Johnson. Anyway, okay, we are counting down the greatest moments of the Maggie and Perloff show of 2024. Now, all of these to this point have been the silly stuff we do, and there's more silly stuff to come. But we did want to include a very poignant moment that happened on the show, and this is from early in 2024, Pearl. We're on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. And the Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith stopped by. Now, I'm going to put you back in the context of what had just happened. The Cowboys had just gotten shockingly demolished in the playoffs by the Green Bay Packers. Let's put ourselves all back in that era. They were a 7.5-point favorite. They had won 12 games last year, and the Packers came in and ate their lunch. We asked Emmitt Smith about it, and he did not hold back.
Our team just seems to be lost. I mean, I cannot put my finger on why it looks so, so bad.
So if that's the case, why is Dallas bringing back Mike McCarthy next year?
Because I'm not a GM. And And to be honest with you, I thought that that move would have been made because of how bad it looked.
Yeah, that went viral.
And by the way, he was dead on.
He was dead on. It's been kind of a bad season.
Yeah, I mean,
lost season.
I don't blame all Mike McCarthy, but it's funny. I was thinking about Emmett's face. Like, he was looking towards the future. He didn't see a way out of this hole for the Cowboys, and it turns out that was probably accurate.
Yeah, I mean, and he was just, you could tell he was also just devastated. I mean, there was a real thought that the Cowboys had a shot last year, you know, at least to get a rematch with San Francisco, at least to try to make this thing and get another bite. And they were just went away with a whimper. And it was such a shocking loss. So that was moment number three in the most memorable moments of the Maggie and Perloff show. The side note, it is hard to make news on Radio Row in New Orleans. It's a challenge. And the fact that cut through and became one of the moments of the week was something that we're proud of.
And Emmett overlooked the fact that I told him I hated him as a player because I'm an Eagles fan. He actually respected that.
Yeah. We tackled all that after. Thankfully. Okay, we're going to count down more. We've got two more for you. Numbers 2 and 1 on the most memorable moments of Maggie and Perloff in 2024. And the next two are way stupider and way sillier than all the smart things that Emmett Smith had to say. So we'll get to those next.
All right, Maggie, we have a lot of sports ahead of us. And what is the best way to enjoy it? Prize Picks. You get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Could be college football, could be NFL, could be NBA. Over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks makes daily fantasy sports accessible to all. The app is really simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projection. And it's just a holiday feast this year with the different sports. You can win up to 1,000 times your money.
Well, I mean, a Merry Picksmas to all. And to all a good night. Right now, Prize Picks, which is available in California and Texas, by the way, not to mention more than 40 states in our great nation, giving away 2 free picks in December. So there's still time to capitalize on this, guys and gals. Did you know, and in what world, can you be putting together Jeremiah Love's rushing totals with Jarrett Allen assists? I mean, it is a good time to be alive when you can go Notre Dame with a Cleveland Cavaliers, just a little bonanza.
Does Jared Allen get assists?
Well, the number's set at 1.5.
I love bets like that. Awesome.
More than, baby. More than. And a happy Picksmas to all of you. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Back on Maggie and Perloff, we got a lot to do, a lot going on around here. It is Christmas season, our annual tradition of unpopular white elephant gifts. I'm dying to know what's happening next. But first, I believe we got to do some headlines, Andrew Bogish.
Oh, hey, how are you guys? These headlines
There's presents flying all over the place. This is crazy.
Headlines are sponsored by GoodRx. For simple, smart savings on your prescriptions, go to GoodRx.com or download the free GoodRx app. Just for the record, Notre Dame football has already posted a picture this morning of a snow-covered field for tonight's CFP opener against Indiana. Pro football last night, a second half rally for the Chargers, and now they're almost in the playoffs.
Davis in motion, Herbert to throw. Pump fakes, and now to the end zone. Caught, touchdown! Chargers! Darius Davis! A hole shot from Justin Herbert, left sideline of the end zone.
That's Matt Money Smith on Chargers Radio. Justin Herbert with 2 touchdown passes as LA outscored Denver 21-6 after halftime to win 34-27. The Bolts now have a 95% chance to make the playoffs at 9-6. The loss snaps the Broncos' 4-game win streak and keeps them from clinching their spot for now. Georgia QB Carson Beck is still evaluating surgery options for his right elbow injury from the SEC title game. The Bulldogs reportedly planning to play without him in the CFP. They get Notre Dame or Indiana in the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day. LeBron is now the all-time leader in regular season minutes played, passing Kareem in the Lakers' 113-100 win in Sacramento. LeBron now on 57,471 minutes. And a quick gift from me to Pearl, overtime hockey at Edmonton.
In over the line with Dreisaitl. To Dreisaitl, the shot, save, rebound. Here's Ekholm, scores! Matthias Ekholm! And the Oilers win it! 3-2 in overtime.
The great Jack Michaels on Oilers Radio. Edmonton, a 3-2 win over Boston thanks to that goal from Matthias Ekholm. Guys, back to you.
All right, that was a quick update. Thank you, because we have so much to do before we get out of here. Now, we're going to be in next week, so this is just more for, we know the world's kind of about to wrap up the year, but we'll be in next week. So that's just a little programming note. We are, though, counting down the greatest moments in the history of the Maggie and Perloff Show of 2024. The history of this last year.
Save that one.
You can clip that. We are up to number 2 on the list. The most memorable moments of Maggie and Perloff in this calendar year. Number 2 on the list. I'll set it up for you. Again, we go back to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
The show on the road for the Super Bowl. And when in Vegas, well, you gotta crash an Elvis-themed wedding.
We're in Vegas, Maggie, and that means one thing we have to do.
We gotta go to an Elvis wedding.
Let's go.
Never give each other a suspicious mind, and always step on each other's blue suede shoes. Do you promise?
Yes.
All right, let me get up.
It was awesome.
Just to be clear, that was not Maggie and I doing the vows. We are work husband and wife. We are not officially married in Las Vegas.
I never even considered that.
The way it sounded like,
That was great. And I don't know why I'm blanking on the two people's names. This is a bad job by me. Anyway.
We were in their wedding party and you forgot their names already? That is sad.
Do you remember them?
No.
Do you remember your name?
I do remember crying a little bit.
Remember Boogie Fland?
No.
By the way, somebody told me the other day, that was a really interesting conversation you guys had about Flan the other day. They're like, how'd you get there? I'm like, don't ask.
The Elvis wedding is one of the greatest things that we ever decided to do. And thank you to the people whose name we are now blanking on for letting us be a part of their special moment. I kid you not, we were watching the amount of Elvis-themed puns and Elvis's voice, like, they nailed it. It really was fun and kitschy and cool. And Perloff looked over to me once they were done with the ceremony and goes, Sarah and I should renew our vows here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd be happy to wear this t-shirt tuxedo tuxedo t-shirt again just and come and be a witness.
Yeah. I'm not a huge renewal of vows guy, though. I feel like it waters down your original wedding a little bit.
So these two people were renewing their vows.
But they're Elvis. And they do a lot of Elvis things.
Yes. I had a sneaking suspicion about our couple.
Uh-oh.
That I didn't share at the time.
Oh. Okay.
Because I thought it would have been, I don't know, like, it's not my business. But now upon further review, I'm not going to say it.
Spell it.
I think somebody, as we learned, me spelling bad words is also against FCC regulations. But we learned that in 2023, so it doesn't apply to this.
I think I know where you're going.
I think one of the members of the wedding party may have been away for a while.
Oh.
And I think they were coming back, and that's the renewal of the vows. That was just a little bit of the vibe I got. Because we asked for a backstory, and they were a little light on the details. And to be fair, we were strangers, so I get it. I think somebody might have been on a little bit of a an air quotes vacation.
There was a hole in their resume. There were some years unaccounted for.
Well, it's funny. Okay. I thought you were going to say somebody was pregnant, and I was like, that is too damning to say that there was, and you went way worse.
No, I got that vibe that someone may have just been away. I don't think it was anything dangerous. I don't think it was white collar necessarily, but I don't think it was anything too bad.
I didn't
bad.
Get that vibe
go
at
that
all.
Far. I thought you just meant there was like they were like separated for a while.
No, she meant jail.
She definitely meant jail. I didn't get that vibe at all.
J-A-I-L.
Listen, separated. Yes, I think physically. By a wall with barbed wire on it.
Can I say there was no actual evidence that this happened at all?
No. This is just a wild, reckless speculation.
I will say, I was going to say before you said that, I was like, one thing I will say, brave couple, because the neighborhood where this chapel was, man, I mean, I live in New York City. I've been in some rough neighborhoods. I was nervous.
Really? It was 11 o'clock in the
holding
morning.
A camera. Oh, my God. It was. Did you see the neighborhood? Am I tripping, Pearl? And, like, our buddy Sully was like, yeah, you don't want to hang around here. He literally told us that as we pulled up. My old green, I'm only holding an $800 camera.
We were shooting outside for quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those, like, you're a city kid, and it's just like when there's no one around for blocks, that clearly causes panic for you. You're used to the possibility of crime, but usually it's like being on an empty street is not good for you, right?
There were a couple characters walking around.
There were some characters. It was, but very few people.
Very few people.
Very desolate.
Very quiet. Witnesses.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, high recommend on the Elvis wedding.
Sully said Floyd Mayweather gives money to homeless people in that area. Remember he said he drives around, he just throws, you know, thousands of dollars out to them.
I know. I don't think that's working, by the way. He might need a bit more of a different tact, because I don't think that money's going to what Floyd thinks it's going towards. Anyway, great idea, fun wedding. We got to be a part of it, and it was emotional. It was very fun. It was very cool.
Totally cool. Now we're going down to New Orleans. We'll probably...
Yeah, there's no crime.
We'll be on a float.
Nothing dicey about New Orleans. That's for sure. Anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We'll figure out what we're going to do, what kind of stunts we're going to pull for that. Okay, right. So that was number two. We still have one more moment from the Maggie and Perloff show of 2024. And now it is time for us to do our yearly gift exchange. Manny's new to this. First timer.
I have no idea what's happening.
So we all got some gifts. The max was $15. And we're going to pick numbers out of the hat, and then we'll pick out gifts here.
Wait, so I get the last number? I get the garbage.
Well, you get the last number, but it could be the first number. We're picking blind out of our gigantic San Francisco 49ers
hat. That's definitely a Kansas City Chiefs logo on that hat. But
is that the Chiefs one? Oh, sorry, the 49ers one's over there. Okay, unroll them, guys. What do you got?
I have number four.
I got three.
I got number one.
I forget how this. Do we go up and down or?
No. I'm gonna get us started off. I'm gonna take my headphones off, and I get to pick the first gift, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna pick my own now. I'm going to go with
Maggie is going with.
This is Manny's gift. It's big and it's a bag.
It looks full. It looks like there's no, like the bag is fully expanded as if it's completely full of a present.
Yeah, this is, you know, it was a $15 limit, Manny.
Yeah, I know. I'm very familiar with what the limit was.
Okay, so are we all going to pick gifts and then?
No, you
I
have to go
it?
First.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm gonna open
so we can see if we want to steal it.
Okay. Ooh, it's. Manny, it's a. Oh, nice. It's a Fordham Rams pullover.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you steal that from my house?
Yes, I did, actually. I went into your closet over in Long Island. I took that right out of it.
Wait, is there a tag on this? Or
no, I ripped it off.
Where do they sell those things?
Well, is that part of the Christmas spirit? I thought it was you're asking for a price and where I got it from.
Hey, Manny, is this from your closet?
No, it's from Goodwill. I went to a Goodwill 2-3 days ago. I saw that and I thought, oh, this is going to be perfect if Bogus doesn't grab it.
Which former players donated it to Goodwill?
Whichever one lives in Westchester.
By the way, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's a good find.
Yeah, it was a great find. I also found my brother's Christmas gift at Goodwill.
Listen, way to be resourceful.
Extra large.
It's insulated. It's lined.
Yeah, no, it's got like a zipper as well on the side over there. If you get a little too over insulated on the, you could.
Oh, I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
All right.
There's no way you're
lying. I'm number two. Right. I'm not going to take that because Fordham, I have no beef, but I don't want that.
That's cool.
Okay. So let me come in here.
Who's number three?
You pick it. I'm going
to pick it. Let's go to the Target bag.
Is that Perloff?
That is my gift.
Oh, this is great.
Beautifully wrapped.
I should have known this was going to be. Yes.
So bogus right
her
now.
Is like, men don't wrap gifts, so this is why I didn't wrap a gift. Okay, and let's see what's in here.
All of us men, except for Perloff, wrapped our gifts.
The damn Philly socks are back. The damn Philly socks.
You're disqualified.
Oh, yeah. All right.
You re-gifted your own gift from last year?
That was last year's thing. I actually bought another one. I'm going to walk it over to EJ. Okay. Hold on.
I really thought he bought more Philly socks. And this is going to be just a running bit every year that Perloff brings in Philly socks. Okay, so now we have a book, the real gift. Oh, Blood in the Garden.
Oh, that's a good one.
I have that
book.
So
the one issue is I do have this book.
And I want to say that was not a freebie. I actually bought it.
No, I love Chris Herring. He's one of my favorite writers. Yeah. So I got to figure out, but I think I'm going to keep this because I lose books a lot, and I think it's a good place to get it.
Oh, wait, my headphones were on. You already have it?
Yeah. I do have this book.
Oh,
every Knicks fan, this is their Bible.
I'm going to keep it over the Fordham thing because I could place it maybe in my studio, podcast studio. This stuff I can do with this.
Very good book.
Okay. Who's
you've
next?
Read it too?
Who's
yeah, I have the book. All Knicks fans have this book.
Yeah,
it's a Knicks fan. Oh, my God. I thought it was doing something nice.
It's a very famous Knicks fan book.
Also, Knicks fans haven't read anything in 20 years until this book came out.
I don't know how to read it.
Honestly, like, EJ, you said the other day that I don't have time to read any books. So I was like, well,
I didn't finish it, but I've read. Not the whole thing, but I read some of this book. I'm keeping it, though.
All right.
I like it right now.
Who's number three?
Stretch over here.
Oh, that's me. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to open this little wrap gift here.
Okay. That's from me.
Okay. Okay. It's an Andrew Bogus.
Nicely wrapped, too.
By my wife.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. Oh, no. It is a card game, I believe, called Never Have I Ever Pre-Game Edition. I don't know what pre-game
means, like before you go out, as you're starting the party, you fire up this game.
Definitely some explicit content on
those
cards.
Not play that with your wife, Pearl.
Wait, is this going to be something that we do on the show?
Well, I have two kids, too. Like, they love these kind of
games. Don't include them.
Oh, wow.
Can you give us an example while we keep going with the gift exchange of what one of these would be? Okay. Bogus next or Manny?
Okay, I'll just tell you one example.
Next.
Have you ever done something inappropriate in an Uber? Yes, I have not tipped enough. Have I ever done something inappropriate in an Uber? Who can remember?
I'll give that to James Winston.
Yikes. Okay.
Wow. EJ.
It's the holidays.
Merry Christmas.
We were thinking about it.
All right, so my choice now. The dog bag is from EJ, right?
Yes.
This is the yellow bag is from you, Maggie?
Yep.
I'm going to go dogs.
Okay. It's a bigger bag.
Big bag, but light.
We're doing our holiday gift exchange. If you're just joining us, this is the Maggie and Perloff Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Starting off strong. Nerf Weather Blitz. The kid looks like my son, the kid on the box. So I'm going to hang on to this bad boy.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is. All right,
well, final one for Manny. I guess you're going to have to get my gift, which is right here. Bogus will walk it in.
Wait. Now, when do we swap?
Someone has to decide whether or not they want to switch. So right so far, nobody's taking a gift yet. Manny has the last opportunity to take a gift.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised, Bogus. You don't want this Fordham Rams thing?
I have
thing?
Too much.
Oh.
I didn't hear walking back. Now, Maggie, you still at the end,
yes.
Since you went first, you have the ability to pick anything you
right.
want.
Right, it comes back down. That's how we do it in our family. So
I've been casing this entire joint.
Right. So whoever's, Manny, you're stuck with this gift probably.
Oh, this is great. You guys ready?
Yeah.
It is a Davante Adams figurine.
It's a Christmas ornament, but it's him on the Raiders, which makes no sense. It was at the holiday shop near my house, and it's the only one where the person is not currently playing for the team, and I live in suburban New Jersey, and Davante Adams probably lives within 30 miles of this place, yet it's him in a Raiders jersey, which is going to go down as the least impactful stop that he had. Most likely in his NFL career.
I love it.
But it's an ornament.
I love it. Should have sent you a link.
Not how this works.
It's a moment in time that gets captured as Davante Adams' Christmas ornament.
Are you keeping this?
Well, I guess I'm stuck with it. I'm not very familiar with the rules of what is happening.
Oh, no, he can steal.
So you can steal, and then we could steal back.
Right. So if you steal something, Maggie can, in theory, steal your thing you steal.
You want your Rams hoodie back?
Not particularly.
who's worn this thing?
Goodwill.
I just spelled it. Spelled
a person named Goodwill, Maggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm. Hey, you know what? I am 20-some years old, and that never have I ever card game is looking real, real funny for some nights.
Oh, definitely. This is a good fit. It doesn't fit me.
So you want the Davante Adams ornament?
Are you kidding me? Oh, I don't have a choice. We switch. Yeah.
All right, yeah. All right,
okay, go, so I got that. All
right, not through the glass.
All right, who's four?
Me, I'm good.
Okay.
So Maggie has the last choice. No,
I'm three.
Here.
I have the Davante Adams ornament. I'm going to take that Fordham Rams sweatshirt.
I had a feeling you were going to
I can be on Team Bogus and root
yes.
for Fordham.
Come on.
That gives, Maggie, you have the Davante Adams ornament now.
Wait, but
which is
I,
hers.
I actually want the Blood in the Garden. I haven't read it yet, and there's no way I can't bring myself to buy it because of my strained relationship with the Knicks, which has nothing to do with Chris Herring, by the way. Yeah. He's great.
By the way, I read the whole book in the bookstore. I had never read it before. It's
I really
awesome.
Want it.
It's good.
I really want it, especially we're about to go on holiday break, so I might have a little time. Sorry, EJ.
So wait, so what did... So,
so you get the Davante Adams now, and I would like the Blood in the Garden book.
J-E-T-S. No, 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 but...
This is perfect for me, actually.
EJ, did you get to steal yet?
No, I decided not to. I passed, remember?
Yeah.
So I'll take the book. You can enjoy Davante Adams in a Raiders jersey.
Actually, my mom's a big Raiders fan, and she'd probably be like, he was terrible for us, and this is awful. Why'd you give this to me? But it's coming to you, Ma.
That'd be a great story, though.
It
like
is.
8 years from now, I was like, what is this ornament? Well, Maggie was about to go on vacation, and she needed a book.
The long story is Aaron Rodgers got to the Jets, and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
So he had to bring Davante Adams with him.
I mean, honestly, they should have traded him in the offseason.
That's true. You're welcome, Mrs. Stewart. Okay, there you go. That's our white elephant. We still have the top moment from the Maggie and Pearl off show in 2024 and our picks for the week.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Weekend. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. All right, we're going to fit a lot in here. We have to do picks for the weekend and also the top moment of the Maggie and Perloff show in 2024. So without further ado, this is it, Pearl. Monday through Friday, you can
Let's
find us
go.
Right here, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Infinity Sports Network, our on Sirius XM channel 158, the podcast. We're on the Odyssey app. This is the number one moment from the year, me paying off a bet to Perloff that I lost. This is when I had to eat Jell-O mixed with tuna fish mixed with green olives.
Three, two, one.
trembling hand is in, there's eating, and it's immediately into the garbage.
How could you do this?
I gotta try to do this.
This is the toughest thing I've ever seen. This is the toughest thing I've ever seen. It's not going well.
I can't put it down.
You can't.
I can't swallow it. There's something. This is the most disgusting. Okay, let me try it again.
Why?
I'm going to try because I'm trying to pay off the bet and not be like a loser. And I just can't choke this stuff down. I'll tell you what. I don't know what's worse, the audio or the video of that. It's a tie. And I lost many things that day. Respect for myself, dignity.
Your appetite.
Some calories.
For about a month.
Yeah. Still haven't eaten tuna fish or green olives or Jell-O since.
Oh, my God. People, like, you know, people do not understand. Like, you cannot translate how inedible that was. It was the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life.
And you know, it's giving me PTSD right now just listening to it. So let's get to our picks. We have, like, no time for this. EJ, what's our records right now, sir?
Maggie and Perloff's NFL picks.
So, Maggie, you are 42-33 after going 1-4 last week. Pearl, you are 36-39 after going 2-3 last week.
All right, we only have a minute here. Two college picks, three NFL. Perloff, you want to start us?
Sure. I was 3-2 last week, by the way.
You were under on Kamara. I thought you were over. So
yeah,
3-2 last week, so that makes him 37-38.
Yeah, I bet on Alvin Kamara and got hurt about the second quarter, and that was the funnest thing of all time. Okay, I got to do college. I'm taking Penn State to cover 8.5.
Wow.
Because it's really the home field advantage, and my over-under is a risky one. I don't see Tennessee and Ohio State doing a ton at night in the cold weather under 46.
Okay, for my college picks, I'm going to take Clemson plus the 12. I've been riding with Clemson. Dabo Sweeney, I've been talking him up all week.
Yep.
It's the biggest spread of the weekend, begging you to take the points. And then for my over-under, give me that Penn State SMU game you were talking about before. I'll take the over 54 in that game.
I love it. Okay, going to NFL, I'm going to take the Lions laying 6.5 against the Bears. We'll see. The Lions don't have any defense, but the Bears have been treading downward, in my opinion. And my total, I'm going Cowboys Bucks over 48, and that's wishful thinking because wouldn't that be fun to see a Baker Mayfield shootout against the Cowboys? My prop, James Conner, Cardinals running back, over 79.5 rushing yards against the porous Carolina Panthers D.
Oh, that's a smart one. Okay, for my NFL picks, I'm going to take the Cowboys. Give me the points. Home, Buccaneers might be feeling themselves a little too much coming off that big win over the Chargers. And to be honest, Dallas has been live in these games because their defense is rounding a little bit back into form, even with the loss of Demarion Overshawn. Give me the over-under on the Giants and the Falcons. That number is set at 42. Michael Penix Jr. taking over. A lot of people have a lot at stake in the building over Penix looking very good. So this is the week that he really has to look good. And the Giants, I think, are trying to... The Giants, it'd be better for them if they lost. Drew Lock back under center. I think they can contribute. I think they can score two touchdowns in this game is what I'm saying. And then my prop, give me Derrick Henry over 18.5 carries. I think they go back to Henry big time in what feels like a must-win game against the Steelers.
A Michael Penix big game would be so much fun.
Oh, I know. It's the Christmas gift we've all been waiting for.
Have his former team, Indiana, beat Notre Dame, and then him come out and ball out. What an Indiana weekend that would be.
Fantastic. Wow. We did it? Did we actually get everything into the show that we wanted to do today?
I don't remember anything that just happened over the last 4 hours. It's been a whirlwind.
EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, fantastic. Just the best. And we're going to be back with you next week. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. You guys are amazing. Nick Costos, Diana Rossini, who joined us, and the Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers. We hope to see you next week. If we don't, and everyone's traveling and doing all your thing, happy holidays, happy new year, but we will be back with you on Monday. Don't miss it.